Amen. Get your Bible. Listen, we've been studying, I hope you get your Bible too, turn to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 16. We've been studying spiritual warfare. And kind of got off of it last week. I let Thomas scream and holler at us a little bit. But we're back on spiritual warfare tonight, okay? And spiritual warfare is something that every one of us is in. We're in a spiritual war, every one of us. The day you accepted Christ, you got into battle. You've been in the battle ever since. You might as well get used to it. Put your armor on, get your shield, draw out your sword, and stand. And stand. That's what he said. And we talked about that. We talked about how it was a spiritual battle with Elisha's servant. You remember that? We read about Elisha's servant. And he prayed and God revealed. The heavens opened up and he saw that army of angels all around him, you know. And we talked about how there's a spiritual battle going on out there. And believe me, over this country right now, there is a spiritual battle like has never been done before. And then we talked about how it's a worldly battle, that we're in the world, but we're not of the world. It's a worldly battle. We have conflicts in our flesh with people, with programs, with institutions or whatever, you know. It's a worldly battle. As long as we're in this flesh, we're going to have a battle with it. Amen. And then we talked about how it's a worldly battle with our flesh. Even our own flesh is at war with us and against us, not wanting us to do the things we should do. And we talked about how that makes it an inward battle. And so it's a battle with yourself. You ever talk to yourself? Don't say you don't. You're lying. You're in church. And sin to lie just like it is to steal. And so every one of us talks to ourselves. Why'd you do that? I don't know. You knew better than that. I know it. Shut up. I'm not. And so we talked about how it's an inward battle. Now, I want you to read Acts chapter 16, verse 25 and 26. And most of you already know the story, so I'm not reading the whole story. I might rehearse a little bit of it. But Paul and Silas, they've been preaching, and they've been thrown in jail for preaching the gospel. And verse 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. That's the first thing they did. That's the first thing they did. And then it says, and they sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. They weren't ashamed of Christ, even in jail. If you ever get locked up, start a prison ministry. Start praying and singing, amen. And then it said, suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loose. Not just Paul and Silas, but everybody's. Now you're talking about an act of God.
Yes, sir.
You're talking about powerful. And look, if you're going to read the story, the prisoners were so scared they didn't move. I mean, if I'd have been in prison, I think I'd have just took off. But not these guys, man. But just the earthquake, and you look down there, and the doors fly open, and your chains drop off. I don't know. I might not run. Whoa, what's going on here? Something bigger than me. But they didn't run. But I want you to notice this. In their battle, they were in a battle. They were put in jail for spiritual reasons, for preaching the gospel. And so their spiritual battle went to a world battle, and then it went to a self battle. They had to decide in their self, what are we going to do with this? Are we going to sit down here and weep and cry and moan and groan and say, God, why'd you let this happen to me? No, first thing they did was pray. Now, I don't know what they prayed, but it was a mighty prayer.
That's right.
I don't know if it was one of them long ones like Deacon Jones prays every time you asked him to pray over offering, you know, but it was a prayer, I'm telling you. And I think it probably was a simple childlike prayer. Lord help. And then they sang praises like they knew God was going to help.
Yes.
So, tonight, I want to talk about a part of the spiritual battle that we need to get used to, because in this spiritual war, we are ordered to pray. We're ordered to pray. And I think that next to the Word of God itself, that prayer is the most powerful thing in the universe. Amen. Amen. And we talked about prayer before. Jesus said, if you really got it, you just that much faith, just pray, say, move that thing into the sea, Lord, and he'll throw that mountain into the sea. Now, there's several things about prayer I want to show you, but before I do, I want to turn to Matthew 7. Turn to Matthew 7. And most of you know all of this, okay? Matthew, that's right, ain't it? Matthew 7. Can't read my own writing. All right. Matthew chapter 7. And it's very, very, very familiar. If you look at it with me, we're going to shorten it. Verse 7, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened. And, or, what man is there of you whom his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or, if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Amen. Now there's your weapon right there. There's your weapon. I don't think that God put them in jail. I think they asked, matter of fact, I know that they prayed for the power and the presence of the Holy Ghost on them so they could preach with great power. Jail is the results of preaching with great power. God didn't do that. The devil did that. So they prayed and God got them out. God got them out. Now, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, pray without ceasing. You know what we say in South Carolina? Pray all the time. Pray all the time. Pray without ceasing. Amen. Now, it's commanded. It's not to pray. Not to pray is wrong. Not to pray is wrong. To pray is right. I heard a preacher say one time, this is the truth, and it's really the dumbest thing I ever heard a preacher say. Well, I'm be nicer, okay? My wife tells me I need to be nice. It's the most unscriptural thing I've ever... He said, I don't think you should ask but one time. He said that in a sermon. He said, it's supposed to be revival, and he said that. And I thought, we ain't going to have no revival here. but he said, ask one time. He said, anything else is doubt. Well, then why did he say pray without ceasing? Amen. Why did he say ask? And then he said knock. Why did he say seek? Why does he pray without ceasing? That means continually pray. And it's commanded, he said. And in, Luke, I think it is. Let me look up Luke 11. I think it's Luke 11:9. Look at it with me real quick. I might be wrong, but I think that's it. Luke, I didn't mark the page, and I'm really trying to hurry here. Luke 11:9, I think, is my verse that I was thinking about. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Same as the Matthew. Now, you listen to me. He didn't repeat himself for no reason. So, we're commanded to pray. He wouldn't tell us to pray if he wasn't going to answer. He wouldn't tell us to pray. He says a father will always answer good things to his children that ask. He said this, your father wouldn't have given you a stone if you'd asked for a loaf of bread. Amen. And he wouldn't give you a snake if you asked for a fish. And he said, don't you think your Father in heaven is better than your earthly father? Amen. Amen. So he commands us to pray. Now, we are in a battle. They were in a battle. They were, defeated. And how many times did this happen? Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho and the walls come tumbling down. Hey, how many times has this happened? Amen. Old Pharaoh said, I got their back to the sea. I'm going to drown them all. I'll drive them into the sea and I'll kill them all. And Moses said, God, you got to do something. He said, well, take that stick I gave you and hold it out there and I'll fix this. Amen. Moses prayed a little simple prayer and God divided the sea. Amen. And by the way, when I was in Southern Baptist Bible College, they said that was not the Red Sea, that was the Reed Sea. That's what they said. And said the water wasn't but about knee deep. And said in the summertime it got down to ankle deep. That's what they said. I heard the man with my own mouth. The man was in Old Testament survey and he claimed to be a Bible fundamentalist. And he said it was knee deep and then it was ankle deep. And I said, well, you know, that was a bigger miracle. All those soldiers in Pharaoh drowned in ankle deep water. That's the truth. My Bible says they went across on dry ground. I think the dust was flying as they was cutting across that. Amen. Now, look, we're in a battle. We're in a battle. Every day we're in a battle. And I know that we don't like to think that way because in America we like to think peace and love and safety. But this, hey, not only is it a spiritual battle, it's a physical battle, and it's a fleshly battle. And we must look, we've got to be like good soldiers. We've got to be alert and we have to be armed and we have to be ready. And you've got to have the sword of the Spirit and the sword of the Lord, the Word of God. And you got to, you got to be able to get through to God, talk to God about it. Because He says the battle's not yours, it's the Lord's. So every once in a while I have to remind myself, I say, Lord, I'm in a mess down here. I don't know how I'm going to win this, Lord. This is supposed to be your fight, you know. And, so He commands us to pray. And then, well, preacher, how do we pray effectively? How do we respond to Him? When we're in that situation, like they were in jail, and we've been attacked, and we look defeated, we feel defeated, how do we respond? Well, first of all, they responded by praying. Yes. And then they went ahead and praised God for what He was going to do. Yes, and then He did it. But did you know not everybody can get a prayer through? And I'm talking about believers. Not everybody can get a prayer through. And a lot of them's praying, Lord ain't hearing. A lot of them praying, Lord ain't hearing. He said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear my prayer. So, here's what we gotta do. Psalm 66:18. Now y'all gotta listen a little bit faster. I hope y'all still watching. I hadn't made you mad yet. Psalm 66:18. Belinda was watching a while ago. And her mama's watching, and Gwendolyn would be watching, but somebody'd have to be cranking the motor or something to get it down there. Amen. Psalm 66, look at verse 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God hath heard me, and He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor His mercy from me. He said, now, I know God heard my prayer because, I'm confessing my, I'm fessed up, like the old country boy used to say. I'm fessed up. Not festered, fessed. Confessed up. One of my pastors used to say, keep short accounts with God. Keep short accounts with God. That means if I sin, I immediately confess it. Immediately. Amen. So, if I'm going to be in this battle, and if I'm going to be effective in this battle as the Old Testament saints and the New Testament saints, and like they were in jail that night, I'm going to have a right relationship with Jesus Christ. A right relationship with Jesus Christ. Because you see, our fellowship with the Father comes through the Son. Now, that tells me several things. Number one, if you're not saved, He doesn't hear your prayer. Jesus said, whatsoever you ask in my name, you'll receive it. You said, don't you think that God hears the prayers of lost people? I believe God has mercy on lost people. He did me many times. I should have died and didn't. But I don't think he answered a prayer. I think, and by the way, I wasn't praying.
Right.
I wasn't praying. He had mercy on me because he saw down the road that I would accept Christ. But he wasn't answering my prayer. Now, he should let me go to hell, and he'd been right to let me go to hell. So, Jesus said, you go through him to get to the Father. So, if you haven't received him as the Savior, as the Lord, then you can't get to the Father. Because, see, there's sin between us and the Father. Every day. At our best. There's sin. And so he says we need an advocate with the Father.
Yes.
We need a lawyer. We need somebody to go in there and say, Father, I know he ain't worth saving, but you said you pitied him because he's made out of dirt, and you're the one that made him. Amen? So he intercedes for me. I don't get to go in there without him.
That's right.
He carries my wants and my petitions to the throne room of God. I give them to him.
Yes.
So in this battle, I pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
A lot of times you'll hear people pray and they won't say in Jesus' name. And I don't usually correct people in public when they do that because they probably don't know any better. But you better pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
When they went in that jail, I don't think they prayed in Pharaoh's name or Caesar's name or Herod's name or Mama's name or Daddy's name. You remember the book of Acts, these Jews went over and tried to cast out some demons from these people and the demons jumped on them. And the reason they jumped on them is they said, we command you to come out in the name of the Jesus that Paul preaches. And they said, well, we know Paul and we know Jesus, but you, we know not. And they jumped on and ripped the clothes off of them, tore them all to pieces. You better go in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you better know him. If you don't know him, if I regard iniquity in my heart, unbelief, iniquity, the sin of unbelief is the sin that will send you to hell.
Amen.
That's it.
Yes, sir.
All those other sins are just branches of the root of unbelief. You say, well, you won't go to heaven if you're drunk. Well, you get saved, you won't be a drunk anymore. Well, you won't go to heaven if you're a thief. Yeah, but now listen to me. All those are branches that grow off of that sin of unbelief. So if you believe on him, that makes you right with God. So, here we are. You must have a relationship with him. And as a Christian, we must have a right relationship with him. We don't always have it. There's been time in my Christian life, I knew my prayer wouldn't get through. I knew it. I'd have to confess that sin, turn from it, and beg for forgiveness. And of course, he gave it to me and washed me by the blood of Jesus. And then I can get my prayers through. Amen? But as long as I hold on to that sin. I bet Ed knows this story. Some of y'all probably do. These stories are real good in children's church and jail. So, okay, so if you fit in either one of those places, which I think a lot of you do, and but in the jungle of they'll cut a hole in a tree and they'll ream it out and they'll put some peanuts in there because those people eat monkeys. And the chimpanzee or the monkey, he'll come along, smell those peanuts, and he'll reach there and grab them. But he's too stupid to let them go. And he can't get his hand out. So the native, he comes along with his machete and just chops his hand off at the wrist and takes him home and eats him. I know that sounds awful, but that's the way we are. A lot of times, we'll get hold of sin as a Christian and won't let it go, and God just by has to chop our hand off to get rid of it so that we can get a prayer through. Amen. Number one, if we're going to fight this battle with prayer, we're going to have a right relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you tell me you and the old man upstairs got a deal, I'm going to say you lost and going to hell. You wouldn't talk that irreverent about the holy God, you know. Don't tell me that kind of stuff. If you say, Jesus, take the wheel, I'm just afraid. He should have had your wheel when you asked him to save you. Amen. All right. And did I hurt somebody's feelings on that country song there? I'm not sorry if I did. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Now, we've got to have a right relationship. Man, I'm going fast. I didn't know that. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. My number two, one weapon is the Word of God. My second weapon is prayer. But I got to be able to get a prayer through. And I must make the right request. Now, some people think that God's silly. He'll just hear any old kind of request you got. Look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. And this is the confidence. I have this confidence, see. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything that we want, He hears us. That's the non-inspired version, NIV. If we ask anything our wife tells us to ask Him, that's the NRSV. If we ask anything our husband if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Now, I got to have a right relationship, but also, if this prayer thing is going to work, I've got to make the right request. Now, these guys in jail had one request. Lord, get us out. They wasn't worried about a new car or a new house or a new pair of shoes or their reputation down at the plant or over at the White House. All they wanted was out of jail. Amen. They had the right request. And did you know it was His will to get them out of jail? Because He had commissioned them to go into all the world and preach the gospel. So they were praying according to His will. Now, there was another guy in jail that didn't get out that prayed. You know who that was? For many years. Come on, preacher's son. Y'all PK's old enough this one. Joseph. What was it, 6 years? 7? Altogether it's 12. But you know what? He prayed. And he wanted out. And you and I would have thought, well, he'll let him out. The man's innocent. His brothers betrayed him, then this old hussy betrayed him. They would let him out. But God had a reason to keep him in jail. Yes. And it was for the glory of God. Yes. It's for the glory of God. Now, bad situations sometimes in our battle are not losing situations. They're just bad situations. And God may not deliver us immediately. It may be on down the road. But we must know what His will is. We've got to pray God's will. And over a lot of time, some requests might lose their appeal or give us a check in our spirit. In other words, I wrote that down so I'd remember to say it that way. We pray for things that appeal to us sometimes. And if God just doesn't answer that prayer, and if those things lose their appeal, that means God wasn't in it. Because God puts in our heart what to pray for. He said, I'll give you the desires of your heart. That means He puts the desire in there. That doesn't mean everything you want. That means He will put what He wants in your heart. See, you sold yourself to Him that day you got saved.
Yes,
so, it's not your heart He's worried about. He's the one that wants those desires. So, when Joseph's in there praying, he's doing the best he could. And for all those years, being betrayed, and then finally when he gets out, God got the glory.
Amen.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Yes.
Lord, don't throw us in that fire, Lord. Lord, I don't want to burn. Just kill me real quick. I can't take it. But they didn't pray that way. They said, whether he delivers us or not, we will not bow. Why would some Christians get some backbone like that? He said, we might burn. And we might. But whether he delivers us not, we will not bow. Amen. Amen. Did you know I didn't see where they prayed to be delivered from fire? Did y'all? I think they saw it as God's will and said, okay, however this turns out, it's God's will. It'd be good for me. But the least little thing happens to us. And we run to the altar, run to the prayer place where we pray, you know, and just cry out to God. And then on down the road, a year or two, 3 years later, we've been praying that and praying that and praying that. And then God gets his will. Something happens and God gets the glory for it. And then we say, that's why he never answered that prayer. Amen. All right. So I said we got to have right relationship with Jesus Christ in this battle to get our prayers answered, and we got to make the right request. I told you about that fellow I used to work with. He loved to play bingo. Boy, claimed to be a Christian, didn't ever go to church. I knew him. And he came to church one day. He's always talking to me about the Lord. Why do people that don't go to church talk to me about the Lord and they don't even go to church like I'm going to approve of what they're doing? Amen. And so every day, something about the Lord, every day. And then he comes in one day and said, well, the Lord answered my prayer. I said, he did. I knew God wasn't answering that boy's prayer. Unless he prayed to get saved. He said, yeah, you know, I play bingo every Tuesday night. I won $300 last night. The Lord answered my prayer. That's what he said. That's the way he said, the Lord answered my prayer. You ever heard anything like that, Chris? No. You ain't. That's crazy, ain't it? That's like saying I was playing poker and the Lord answered my prayer. I won the jackpot. Or I was playing whatever. Amen. Amen. And you know what I told him? I said, the Lord didn't answer that prayer. The devil did. He heard your prayer, and he'll do anything he can to keep you out of church. And that $300, you think you don't have to go to church to get your prayers answered, and the devil let you win that $300. And then I said, but let me ask you something. How many times have you won $300? He said, I ain't never won $300. I won 10, 12 here. I said, how many years you been playing bingo? He said, probably 10 years. I said, you've invested a lot more than $300 in stinking bingo. You ain't never going to win that. What do they call them things now? Scratch and sniff cards. You ain't never going to win. You ain't. Hey, God didn't hear that prayer. God, let me win this. So I can get that new ski boat. Oh, shut up. God didn't hear that prayer. You got to have a right relationship. You got to make the right request. And listen to this. John 14:14. Hurry. You ain't listening fast enough. John 14:14. I got so many scriptures we ain't never going to finish. John 14:14. I'm talking about spiritual warfare and using prayer. John 14:14. Most of you already know it anyway. And it says, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. There it is. There it is. You got to have that relationship. You got to make the right request. It must pray. You've got to pray specifically with confidence. He said, we have this confidence in him that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Now, John 14:14, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. I've got the confidence in the word of God that says if I pray right, I am right, I pray right, I pray through the right person, and God will answer my prayer. I have that confidence. You understand that? We've got to pray specifically. Lord, save our nation. Well, my goodness, that's a big prayer. Lord, why don't you get me right so I can lead some people to Christ, and if we do enough of that, we'll save our nation. Bunch of Southern Baptist preachers got together about in the 1990s. They opened that first strip joint over here on Cherry Road. And they had them girls out in the middle of the road out there with signs getting people to come in to wash their car with bikinis on. And these preachers got all upset. And one of them called me and said, "We're organizing a demonstration. We're going to carry signs. We're going to march up and down the sidewalk in front of that building and demand that they close that place." I said, "There's two things wrong with that." He said, "What's that?" I said, "Number one, that ain't in the Bible. Number two, you'll have to get somebody to change law to do that. You can't do that carrying a sign." He said, "Well, you going to help us, ain't you?" I said, "No, I ain't marching." He said, "Don't you think that's wrong?" I said, "I think it's awful. Taking advantage of them girls like that. I think that's awful." I said, "But I ain't marching." "Well, how would you say we would fix it?" I said, "Get out and knock on people's doors, and one day you'll run up on that little girl and you can lead her to Christ and pray with her and she'll get saved and she'll quit that job." Pray specifically. "Lord, heal me." "Well, what's wrong with you?" "Lord, fix me." "Well, what's wrong with you?" Pray specifically. And when you do that, listen, you'll have the confidence that He hears you. God doesn't go with general prayers. Everybody prays general prayers. If you want to fix our nation, why don't you pray for your president? His name's Donald Trump. If you want to fix our nation, why don't you pray for some of those demons like Schumer and Pelosi, that God will remove them. Yes. Pray specific. But we get in these big mass crowds and they have this big prayer meeting and you can't pray specific because if you do, you're going to offend somebody. So why not get in your closet and pray specifically? That's the battle right there. That's the battle. And so if you get a right relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, get born again, and then you get make the right request. Don't pray for vain things and vanity and pride and pleasure and all this stuff. You know, pray specifically. Pray the right request, but pray specifically after you get the right one. Somebody said, I'm knocking on doors one day, and this lady came to the door, older lady, and I told her who I was, gave her. She says, "I heard about you. You ain't much of a preacher." I said, "Yeah, you're right, I'm not." I said, "Would you pray for me that God will make me a better preacher?" And she started apologizing and talking to me after that. But see, she was going by hearsay. She had never met me. And then once she met me and I said, "Yeah, you're right, I agree with it. I'm not much of a preacher. Why don't you pray for me that God will make me a better preacher?" And she said, "I'm going to pray for you." She didn't do it right then. She should have. But you see what I'm saying? If you want to change something in this battle, you need to pray specifically. What is it you want changed? "Well, I don't like my church. I think that my church is falling away." Well, there's one or two things you can do. You can pray that God will turn your church upside down, or you can pray God will guide you somewhere else. But pray specific. Don't just pray, "Lord, my church is messed up. Help." Well, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Specifically. Here's what you gotta do though. Here's the reason we don't pray specifically. You gotta check your motives.
Right.
Why are you praying this?
Yeah.
Husband says, "Lord, help my wife be a better wife." And then the Holy Spirit convicts him and says, "Well, she would be if you was a better husband." Some lady says, "Lord, pray, I'm praying for my children that you'll straighten them out." And he says, he'll convict her and say, "Well, I gave them to you so you would keep them straight." Hello.
Yes, sir.
Specific. Check your motive. See what's going on. Amen. You know why some people don't pray for revival in the church? They don't want revival.
Yeah.
They really don't. They like it the way it is, Holroyd. That Laodicean church, just go along to get along. Don't make no waves. lady that visits our church. I'm not going to say it because I'm on the internet, but she visits our church, and their pastor recently retired. I think they got a new one. I don't know. But she said, it got so dead in there that some people came and visited one time and said, one of them lifted their hand like this and said, that was the talk of the church that night when everybody came back to church. That talk, did you see those charismatics? I thought they was going to start speaking in tongues, waving their hand and going on like that. Amen. Some people don't want their church revived. I always say for me, hey, if you want a better preacher, don't fire me. Just pray for me to be a better preacher. I need all the help I can get. Is it those motives? Are those prayer requests my prayer requests, my desires, or are they his? Mark 11:24. See, you already know this. God gave you a pastor to keep reminding you of things. Mark 11:24. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them.
Yes.
And you shall have them. Well, if you've got the relationship with Jesus Christ and you've got the right relationship that He has put in your heart and you're praying specifically about that, you can have the confidence according to the Word of God that He hears you and He will answer your prayer. Because see, really it's not your prayer, it's the Holy Spirit's prayer anyway. Amen. Now, when we're praying, we usually get out of God's will, but when we let Him pray through us, and that's why He says praying in the Spirit. That doesn't mean tongues. That doesn't mean unknown languages. Sometimes you go to these churches and some guy will be sitting up here, and we used to have one come to our church over on John Street. Wonderful man, I loved him to death, and he rededicated his life, and I baptized him. He was old Gastonia redneck. But he's raised in Church of God, and he sat up on the front, and I'd get to preaching. He'd say, hey, he'd wave his hand, say, "Amen." And his wife was Baptist, and she got mad at him. She wouldn't sit with him. And she told me, she said, "I want you to talk to me and my husband." So I waited after church one day and we sat down talking. she said, "You need to talk to him. He embarrasses me." I said, "What are you talking about?" She said, "He speaks in tongues." I said, "I know it." She didn't know I talked to him. He had come to me and told me that he speaks in tongues. When he rededicated his life, he said, "I was raised in Church of God and I speak in tongues." He said, "And sometimes it just comes out, but I won't embarrass you. I know this is a Baptist church and I'll just keep it quiet to myself." Now what was I supposed to do? Tell him to leave? He needed what we had. I said, "Okay, you do that." I said, "But I want you to know there's no interpreter here, and the Bible says don't do it if there's no interpreter. And we have no interpreter, so keep it to yourself." And he would. He sat on the front. Nobody could hear him because nobody sits on the front. And she said, "Well, he embarrasses me." I said, "Why would that embarrass you?" She said, "Well, I'm Baptist." I said, "I am too." She said, "We don't believe in tongues." I said, "I don't either." She said, "Well, he shouldn't do that in this church." I said, "He doesn't know any better." I said, "You want me to run him off because he does that?" I said, "I got a couple guys in this church that could make him look like a real good saint. And we hadn't run them off yet. Why would I want..." He quit drinking. He quit smoking pot. He quit smoking cigarettes. He quit cussing. He went home every day after work. He worked. And the worst thing she could say was, he goes, "You know, we're just stopping. He's going shopping. He's shopping." Glory to God. That's not what praying in the Spirit means. But he didn't know that. She left him. She left him. And I don't think it was over that, do you?
No.
No, it's something else. And it wasn't 3 months after that she died. She had a lot of health problems, but she did. She died. And I don't think that's the reason she died. But I'm saying this, there was 3 months of her life she could have enjoyed with her husband before she crossed over. But because she thought, he thought praying in tongues was praying in the spirit, and she knew better. But wait a minute. Didn't her pride kind of get in there somewhere? I'm a Baptist. Well, I'm Baptist. I do everything but speak in tongues. Amen. And if you're from up north, sometimes you think I'm speaking in tongues. Amen. Amen. Believe it. Pray it. Believe it. Pray it. Believe it. You say, what if I pray for 5 years? Pray it. Believe it for 5 years. Just believe it. And if it's not God's will, something will happen and you'll see it and you'll say, well, that's the answer to my prayer, but that ain't the way I wanted it answered, but thank God he answered it that way. Amen? Amen. Psalm 118. Look at verse 17. It is Bible study night, right? Are y'all still out there? I hadn't run everybody off the internet, have I? Psalm 118, verse 17. That tongue stuff was split a lot. Psalm 118. God bless him. Did you watch Jimmy Swaggart today? He said you have to do it. He said you have to do it. Okay. Psalm 118, verse 17. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. That's what happens when you pray. The enemy attacks. You think you're going to die. You don't know how many times I've been on the altar and I say, God, this is the end of me. This is the end of my Christian life. This is the end of my ministry. This is the end of all my friendships. This is the end of my family. And go on and on and on and on. And then God turned the whole thing around and I should have said, I shall not die. I will live. Amen. Now, Psalm 27, verse 1 and 2, and I'll quit. Psalm 27, verse 1 and 2. I'm talking about prayer as being a part of a spiritual warfare. Psalm 27, verse 1 and 2. The Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? I like that. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? I like that. I like that. Look at verse 2. When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. This one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire of his temple, who should I fear? Why should I be afraid of anything or anybody? Nothing, Brother Ed, can get to me and you unless it comes through him first, and it's going to have to get through my prayers, and I believe he'll hear my prayer before he'll hear theirs. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I'm scared I'm going to die. Get right with God. Pray. And then trust God. We're all going to die. Amen. You're dying right now. But only God. Listen, you pray and say, I tell you all the time, me and my wife prayed again today. Lord, give us health. Lord, give us wealth so we can serve you and others. We don't have to worry about this stuff. Aren't you afraid you'll get COVID? No, I'm not. I'm careful. I've had the flu. I used to get the flu every year before they came out with flu shot. I prayed to die. Seriously, several times with the flu. I'd get flu one or two times a year, and I'd lay in that bed and sweat, and every muscle and every bone in your body hurt, and your kidneys hurt, and your liver hurt, and you can't breathe. And I'd lay in there, and I'd say, and this is serious, I'd say, God, if you're not going to heal me, kill me. Just kill me. I can't take this. And yeah, I don't want to be sick, but I'm not afraid. I don't want people to hate me, but I'm not afraid if they do. I don't want people to attack me, but I'm not going to live in fear and run around with my head stuck down and not looking up. And hey, I'm going to throw my shoulders back and hold my head up and say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. What if the country turns into a communist country? I'll still be saved on my way to heaven. I'll still be preaching the gospel. I'll still have a Baptist church. I'll still have Christian friends. I'm not going to fear that. Though an army, a host, he said.
Yep.
Amen. He said, why should I fear man? They were preaching the gospel, Paul and Silas. You need to get saved, repent, be born again, get baptized, repent, get born again, get baptized. Jesus, y'all killed him. You killed him, y'all filthy sinners. You killed him, and he died for you. Come to Jesus, he'll save you. And they'd stone him, and they'd throw him out of town, and they'd throw him in jail. And when they got out, thrown out of town or thrown into jail, they'd pray. And God would turn everybody that around. You know what I think, Brother Hall Royd, if you'll read the history of Paul, he said, I finished my course. Nobody cut it short. He finished his course. He said, I kept the faith. He didn't live in fear, he kept the faith. He said, and I know this, there's a crown laid up for me.
Yes.
Amen. What are we afraid of? We're in a spiritual battle, and we are in a spiritual war, and some of you have been saved a lot longer than others, and you've seen the battles, and somehow, when we pray, God always gets us through, doesn't it? It may not always be the results we expected. But down the road somewhere, we'll look back on it, we say, oh, well, I understand that a little bit more now. And he said, he let you suffer, so you might minister to others when they suffer. For years and years and years, I never had a father, so I wasn't there when he died. But I had a mother, and for years and years and years, as a young preacher, I'd preach people's funerals, especially older people. I never said, I know how you feel. When someone's mother or father died, I never said that. Now I can say that. I can say I know how you feel if their brother died, I'd experience that, or if their sister died, I'd experience that. But I never told people I know how you feel if I didn't know how they felt. But I'll tell you this, God never let anything go through the hand of one of my enemies that it didn't go through his hand first. And he said, you ask and you seek and you knock and I'll answer. He said, I'm not only going to do that, I'm going to give you the words to pray. I'm going to give you the desires of your heart. I'm going to make my desires your desires. And then I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit to pray for you because you don't even know how to pray. Man, what a battle. Hey, I'm a winner, man. Amen. Let's stand. Father, thank you for your inerrant, inspired, infallible word. How could we leave defeated tonight? And Lord, if there is one defeated tonight, I pray you'd lift them up. Let them see the word of God and believe it. Just receive it. That's all we've got to do is receive it, and it'll do the word. Lord, I don't know. I doubt there's one among us not saved, but